Okay. And we have to get a missionary to Romania. We do have one more son who is with us. I say with us because we pay for him. He's in college, Daniel. If you have my prayer letters, you will see him. My prayer card, where is one? Give me one, quick. I had one normally in my pocket. If you see here, he's the awesome guy right there. I was looking like him when I was a young man. Now I become this. My wife says she married me for the waves, like my son. And now all she, what she have is the beach. Sand. So, praise God. I was amazed. Where's the young man? They're gone. I was coming to church and nobody gave me a Bible, you know. If I will know it, I will come and join to this church. Because I know I get a Bible. Amen. God, Bible is very good. Bible is the Word of God. And today we're going to be in 2 Corinthians, like you already read. But just open there, 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And we're going to read one verse only now. Verse 5. I preached this preaching once. I already told the pastor. I don't know why I'm preaching now. I wrote a long time ago when I preached once in Birmingham. And I feel like the Lord wanted me to preach second time here. And in the evening, of course, I'm going to preach missions. But here in the verse 5 it says, examine yourself whatsoever you be in the faith. Prove your own self. Know ye not your own self, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this church. Thank you for your word. Lord, help me again with the language. Lord, help me again to people understand. Lord, open the heart of the people. Give me the liberty to speak. Lord, I do this for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And this morning, I'm going to preach about how can we make a difference in this life for Christ. How can I make a difference in Romania for Christ? How can you make a difference for Christ here in, what is the name here? This Scotland, for Christ. Because all what is matter, all what you do in your life, what you want to do something for the Lord. Amen. When I go in now to, just a few minutes ago, to the restroom, and I see there a nice plaque, and it says, this and this, gents, ladies, where they win something. And I thought about this, and I said to myself, well, that's good, that's wonderful, but you really think will matter in 2,000 years from now what it says on that plaque? Do you think the people are going to remember, oh, Colleen is in that plaque, he won whatever contest, do you think somebody gonna remember that? No, really. But we want to make a difference, such a difference for Christ in this life, so the Lord will remember us, and people are gonna come to heaven, we're gonna get to that, remember us for what we do, what we make a difference. Well, if you make a difference, if you want to make a difference in this life, in your life for Christ, first of all, I have to live for Christ. You cannot make a difference if you don't live for Christ. We read here in the verse 5, examine yourself, and nobody knows you better, nobody knows me better than the Lord. I can fool my wife, I can fool my pastor, I can fool my daddy, whatever, but you never can fool Jesus or God how you are. So if you want to make a difference in this life, you have to live for Christ. Well, when you live for Christ, you have to let the Lord, like I talk in the morning, let Him use you. Open up by the 2 Corinthians. We're going to go a little bit to the scripture because I love the scripture here. But 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself, If you want to live for Christ, you have to purge yourself. You have to consider yourself. You have to think for yourself, I'm okay what the Lord wants me to or not? Nobody can help you better than yourself in some matter. And so the Lord wants me to purge myself for those that shall be a vessel and to honor, sanctified, what means put aside. Sanctified means put aside. Put aside by who? By God. For special use, like this thing that you hear right now, like I said, is put aside is for something purposely. If something starts fire here, you're going to use that one to extinguish the fire. So God says, purge yourself, clean yourself, so when I need you, I will put aside, and when I need you, I'm going to use you for a special job. Master's use, put you aside for master use, and to prepare it, and to some good words. Is this what it says? No, it says, and to every good words. If you want to live for Christ, you have to purchase yourself, you have to clean yourself. And then if you want to live for Christ, you have to be a doer of the word and not a listener only. I often tell my kids in my church and my teens, when we have teens in our church, now we have only one, I often tell themselves, hey listen, it's one thing to listen to the Bible, to hear the word of God, it's a totally different thing to apply the word of God in your life. To do the word of God in life. In here, in James chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, John says to the people, James says, to the Lord, says, hey, it's one thing to listen to the word, but it's totally different to do the word. We want to be a doer of the word and not a listener only. Now listen, if you hear the word and don't do it, then you're not a doer. You're just a listener. This is what actually James says. If you want to live for Christ, you have to do the word of God. You have to not just listen, you have to obey, like he said in the morning. If you want to live for Christ, you have to be genius Christians. I have a preaching I intitulated Christian Under the Cover. Christian Under the Cover. You know what? Like you see the movies, detective, you know those, they go to the nuthers. Somebody else, like the bandits, go together and everything is under the cover. You don't want to be a Christian under the cover. You want to be a Christian in such a way, to live in such a way that everybody see you and see me and see this guy is different. I want to live in such a way when the people are thinking, hey, this is not a fake, this is a really Christian. I remember when we started Sunday school teaching. Well, actually, it's a Bible study in a new place where we are in Romania. The first 2 or 3 months, I already told the pastor last night, everything what the people were asking us is why this pastor doing this, why this Christian doing this, because if he is a Christian, he's not supposed to do this. And, hey, do you know that the people know better than you what you're supposed to do or what not? And when you don't do what the Bible says, and if you don't live the way the Bible says, and you're a phony Christian, do you know that people are gonna think and say, hey, if he's a Christian, if she's a Christian, I don't want nothing to do with the Christianity at all. You have to be genuine. You have to be the real thing. Think about, if you find something, a ring or something, I find a ring in Romania, I already told this, I find a ring in Romania, and I was so happy, because there was a stone in it. Okay, and I feel like, yay, this will solve some of my problems. So I go with him to the jewelry, and he goes there and says, oh, this is a fake. I said, all the my ideas, poof, gone. It wasn't genuine. It was just a fake. Think about it. If you want to live for Christ and you're a fake Christian, if I'm a fake Christian, all the people are going to look at you and say, hey, if this is Christian, I don't want to. I don't want to. Hey, you want to live for Christ, you have to be genius. Listen, sometimes, or often, so to say, every people who look at you, the only Jesus they're going to see it is in you. The only people that sometimes the only Jesus they're going to see is in me. And if they're going to say, well, if this is the Jesus why you're preaching of, why you tell me about it, and He live in you, and you live this way, no thank you. People look at us. Bible says nobody die or live for himself. You're going to have somebody watching you. Your kids can watch you. Oh, if daddy doing so, I can do it. Oh, mommy doing so, I can do it. Oh, my sister doing so, I can do it. I am allowed to do it too, so. So, sometimes, don't forget this, sometimes the only Jesus what people are going to see is in you. And in me. And us Christians. So if you want to make a difference for Christ here in Gainsborough, in Edinburgh, you have to live for Christ. If I want to make a difference in Romania, I have to live for Christ in Romania. If I do one thing and do another thing, the name is hypocrite. God don't want us Christians to be hypocrites. God don't want us missionary to be hypocrites. I often tell people, say, well, this guy doing so, why he don't do what he... I said, I don't know, he have to take it up with God, but sure, he's going to stay before God one day. I want to live for Christ. Secondly, if we want to make a difference for Christ in this life, if we want to make a difference in this community where you are, you have to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to tell others about the love of God. You have to tell others how what Jesus, what God did for you. I was preaching in Wales last week, and a brother coming to me and said, well, Brother Kellen, said the word of God speaking to my heart, but I want to tell people. I was speaking about something different, but he said, I want to tell people and I want to be a good testimony. Oh yeah, we'll start maybe something about testimony or something. I said, but I don't know what to tell them. Well, I said, that's no different. That's no big deal. I said, you just live for Christ and you tell him what God did for you when he saved you. And then if he still don't convince, if you show him on the Bible, I said, give him a track. Give him a track. And then if you don't give a track, well, if he still don't know what to do and everything, give him the pastor telephone number. He can talk to him. But the truth of the matter is, we have to tell others about the Lord. That's why after you're saved, after the Lord saved you, that's why you're still here today. So we can tell others. If we go to the Matthew 28, that's a very famous. The last words, what was His Majesty, Jesus Christ, when He departed from this earth, the last words was not, go build your house, go have a car, go. Well, this is good. But the last word, what was saying, Jesus Christ, in verse 18, and Jesus come and speak unto them, saying, Matthew 28, verse 18, go, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth, and the last word, well, look at this. Go ye, therefore, and teach. Well, brother, I can't teach. Can you tell somebody something? That's what you try to teach them. That's what it is. Teach all nations, not just Scottish, not just England, not just Romania, not just America, all nations. There's mission involved here. We're going to get to this in the evening service, but it says what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. How can I teach somebody to observe all things what I have commanded you if for myself I don't keep it? So I have to live a Christian life. I have to live a Christian life and I have to tell others about the Lord. When you get saved, immediately after you get saved, go tell others about the Lord. Don't wait. I remember when I was saved, when I got saved in a Wednesday night in 1999, I remember right away I was calling and phoning my mom and my daddy. And I was going, since I was a small kid, to the church, to the Baptist church, but yet here am I, 30 years old man, and I call my mom, I get saved. I was baptized before everything, but I wasn't saved yet. And I remember when God saved me, when the Lord Jesus was coming to my heart, His blood was cleansing me, and I accept that. I right away call all my friends, my mom and my daddy, Mama, Daddy, I got saved. I told everybody I know, I got saved. If you want to make a difference, you want to let people know you're a Christian. You want people let people know, hey, I got saved. And then you live in such a way that people say, there's something different about you. Before you was alcoholic, before you tell bad jokes and everything, and now you're different. Something happened. And different in the good way. And they say, I want to have this. I want to whatever you have, I want to have it. If I live in such a way, the people see the difference. They make sense. Hey, let everybody know you're a Christian. Let others know what Jesus did for you. Let everybody see, watch, that you are different in the good way. And be separated from the world. I'm sorry to say that, but so many Christians, they are not different. I meant often to my teens before. They always come to me and say, Pastor, cool this, cool that. And I get mad a little bit. Not mad, but upset. What is cool, I said. Well, Pastor, you're kind of old a little bit, you know. Cool means different. Well, I say, well, then explain to me, if everybody doing the same, how come this is cool? I said, let me explain my definition about cool, I said. Cool is when you're different than everybody else. So if everybody is dressed like me, I will not be cool. Because everybody is same. Make sense? I will be the same. But I am a different, in some way, that will be cool. So I said, this is a Christian life. See, Christian, God wants to Christian to be different. God wants the things to be different. God wants to be such a different thing. When people see, there's something about it. I often tell the people, I say, look, the Christians you're supposed to see the Christians. And actually I do. I can walk, who is a genuine Christian, I can walk on the street and I can see he's a Christian. I see you can. Especially Sunday, I enjoy this when we go from the church home, or maybe we go between the churches in the city. I tell them, my wife, she's beside me, this is a Christian, this is a Christian, this, you can see them. And I'm not talking about with the Bible under the arm, that's good too, amen. Let everybody know you're Christian. You know, don't be generous, no. Well, I was a little bit, you know, visiting the city. What you have there? Nothing. Let everybody know you're a Christian. It's nothing wrong to be a Christian. It's nothing wrong to serve in the Lord. It's nothing wrong. Tell others about the Lord. Tell others. Give out tracts. Give out tracts. Well, I'm a chicken, Brother Canaan. I can... And it happened to me before. I was ashamed. Not ashamed, but I was intimidated. That's the word I'm looking for. Yeah, I know that. Not everybody is out speaking everything. I know that. But give out tracts. Give out tracts. Let people know, hey, ask them, do you want a tract? Do you want a tract? You want a tract? Please, this. Smile. You know, I enjoy when I go to another country, like here, English, I understand. But like in Portugal or somewhere else, we go preaching, and I take the tracts in Portuguese. I don't even know what it says there. For that matter, I trust the brother. And I go there and I give it to them and I smile and wave. And I don't even know what they tell me. Maybe they curse me or something. I don't care. I give them a tract. How difficult is this? Give them a tract. There's nothing wrong with it. You can get to the mall and everybody give you all the such tracts or something else. Give a tract. Give out tracts. Don't be ashamed to be a Christian. Don't be ashamed. Paul, everybody was, he wasn't ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the only way to get saved. If you like heaven, gospel is the only way to get into heaven. The good news, what God did for you at Calvary, for me. Don't be ashamed. Third here, we have to go because time is short, but third here, get involved in church ministry. They live for Christ, tell others, and now you do something, get involved in church ministry. Hey, get involved in the ministry is an act of growing in the faith. See, I hear people to another denomination or something, or maybe in the church is like our faith and ours. Oh, you know, he's a big shot Christian, and how long he's saved, and I don't know, sometimes I don't even dare to questions how what you do for the glory of God in the church. I have a preacher that says the dangers of becoming a Sunday only Christian church is dangerous. Because sometimes people come into the church and stays in the chairs and bless me if you can attitude. They don't do nothing for the glory of God. I'm sorry to say, but that's the attitude. I remember when I was in the Rhine River, I remember we do a lot of things for the church. We serve in the my family was cleaning the church. Then my wife would take care of the nursery. I take care of the repair stuff. And I was an usher head. I was a money counter, how you call this. I do whatever is necessary for the glory of God to get involved in church ministry. I would go with the visitation. I go with the trucks. Whatever. I was the man of it. Pastor says, hey, clean the restroom. I will clean the restrooms. Get involved in the ministry of the church. And then get involved in ministry, not just with the physical, with the giving, with the money. It says to say, but in this time, everything is about unto others the money. I mean, salvation is free, okay? Serving the Lord is free, but the church here, to keep the church, to keep the lights on, to keep the heat on, it takes money. To keep the mission on the field, it takes money. And God says, hey, you know what? I want you to get involved not just with your time, but also in other things. Get involved in giving for the missions, for instance, in one place. Get involved in participating, money, but God wants you to go on the mission. Well, not me, brother. Hey, listen, I was a businessman. I told you in the morning. I never, ever, 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 ever thought I'm going to be a missionary. Matter of fact, I don't thought even it was good for me to be a missionary. But it's good for God. It's good for the souls who get saved in Romania. It's good for the people to hear the word of God in Romania. Listen to me. I know of one pastor who goes missionary when he was 70. 70, not 17. You understand it, correct? He died on the mission field. Did you know that any time from here, from Scotland and from England, the missionary, where they go on mission field, they take the coffin with them? One of the pieces of luggage what they have is a coffin. For he get a burial, decent burial. Not be eating or burn or something. That's a fact. Hey, don't worry about it. Just follow the Lord. Just get involved in the mission, in the ministry. Bible says in Acts 20:35, it's more blessing to give than to receive. We get involved in missions. We give to the missions. We give to anything else. Consider yourself a candidate and be ready to go if the Lord sends you. And not if the Lord sends you to the mission field, but if the Lord calls you for different ministry. Hey, Lord, I am ready. Here am I, Lord. How am I? I want to do everything for your glory. You remember in the morning? With a smile, with a joy. And let the Lord say, hey, pastor was staying here preaching, I need a man or lady for this. No, be ready. Be ready. Well, Brother Kevin, we have just a few people. Yeah, so few jobs. But it's still jobs, still things to do. The Lord wants you to use you. If you allow Him, get involved, consider yourself. And then what you do is you begin in New Jerusalem. Right here where you are. Tell others. And then you go to the next village. And then you go to the next village. and then you participate in the missions, and maybe God wants you in the missions, and maybe God wants you to get involved in that kind of ministry, another church want to help or whatever. Hey, just don't limit it, God. Don't tell him, God, Lord, I want willing to do this, and this, and this, and this, and this. This is it. Just be open. Lord, whatever you want me, you want to send me this way, I go this way. Be open to the Lord. And fourth point here, and we close with this. Don't worry, we're going to be a little bit. Keep up the good work for Jesus. Oh, I'm a Christian for 30 years. I'm a Christian for 50 years. We were in the church in England. I don't know where we were, somewhere by Cambridge somewhere. I shake a hand to a dear lady, and she said, I'm a member of this church for 90 years. White head, gloves, white gloves. Probably that was the style when she began to come to church. Members for 90 years. Such a sweet personality. She, hey, keep up the good work. Well, Lord, I said the 3 years. I think the time is up. No. Keep up. Keep up the good work. Look to the 2 Timothy again. Chapter 1. Verse 3. I thank God who I am. What is the next verse? Who I serve. From my fathers with pure conscience that without ceasing, no laziness here, I have remembrance of thee in my prayer night and day, Paul was saying, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I might fulfill with joy, I might be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmothers. Keep up your legacy, Christian legacy. I don't have one. But teach your kids, for they remember the Lord. Hey, my daddy, my mama, they didn't have much money, but they left me something. How to read the Bible, how to pray, how to serve God, how to do things for the Lord. I remember doing this. I don't remember this doing this with my father and my mama. And I'm missing. I'm missing. Now I do with my kids. But I'm missing. Teach your kids to live for the Lord. Keep up your good works, your good inheritance. Don't give it up so easy. People, daytime, they are so easy, frustrated, easy give it up. If it is not working well, something else. I hear my sister now, she's 1 year in England now already, and she's not satisfied with the car what she had because she see one car, oh, I have to have this one. She's not satisfied. But what I'm saying is, keep up the good work, don't give it up so easy. Don't change so easy from the good doctrine to the wrong doctrine. Not just because another pastor preaching something, just jump over it. Keep up your good inheritance. Here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15, meditate about those things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting might appear to all. Well, Paul was saying, you know what? Meditate about these things. Think about it. You wanna live for Christ. You wanna make a difference. You wanna continue good work. Think about it. My goal for my life is be more better today than yesterday. If I live for Christ today more than yesterday, I try to do this with all my heart, then I am satisfied. Ask yourself, am I better or at least the same like I was yesterday? Keep up, think about it, meditate. Hey, did I read today the Bible? No. But yesterday I read it. Well, I go backwards. Me and my wife, we read every day in the morning. We read and listen and read 5 verses a day. 5 verses, 5 chapters a day. And sometimes we jump over it. Sometimes we don't read because something else coming up. Like I have to come in the morning, I have to go or something. And believe me, I do miss this time of fellowship. And sometimes we just go before we sleep and read that. Because if I don't read it one day, then I go backwards, not forwards. I don't keep up the good work. I go back on the good work. If you are saved, listen to me. If you are saved, and I hope every one of you is saved, if not, you can get saved, no problem. Speak to the pastor. But if you are saved, your destination is secure. And you can change, nobody can change that. But you need to keep up the word what the Lord beginning, He promised what He begin in you, He will come to an end. But I have to meditate. I have to you remember the first verse what we did? I have to examine myself. I have to let the Lord work to me. Never consider failure or defeat an option on your service. Never. Oh, I tried this. Lord, I give it a chance. You had a year for my life and it wasn't working. This is it. I quit. Hey, why? Why quit? God will never quit on you. Jesus never quit on you. Hey, do you remember the verse says God seek you before you seek Him? That's the truth. God wants me to be saved before I ever think about it, be saved. Don't consider. And the devil will come and say to you, hey, this is it. He had the chance. You have your chance. If you're not working, you're not cut out for these things, you know. No. Don't give up. Don't give a chance to the devil. Don't consider a failure because always think about it. God is in heaven and God will never forsake you. Don't give up so easy. When you fail, and you will fail, remember Jesus is always more than a conqueror. See, the truth of the matter is the world is winning already. The world, Jesus Christ win the war on Calvary. In Genesis 3:17, the Lord promised this, and now He sent His Son, He win the war, and now think about it. If you fall one time, and if you lose the battle, this no means that you lose the war. It's a big difference. And the devil sometimes is come and say, well, this is it, you try, you have your chance, there's nothing you can do about it. Well, I sympathize with you, but admit it, you're defeated. Defeated. This is it. No. Hold on. No. Hold on, devil. Hold on. My Lord, He is the conqueror. He is the King of Kings, and He can do, and He win, He defeats you on the Calvary already. I am a son of a king. I am a daughter of a king. I am with the Lord, with the Lord's side. I often tell the people, I say, look, listen, I said, it doesn't matter how strong the enemy is, me and Lord, we are the majority. I didn't say Lord than me and Lord. I mean, God is first, of course, but the truth of the matter is, we are insignificant. But because the one who is in us is bigger than the one who is in the world, we are more than conquerors. Don't let the devil to fool you. Don't let the people to fool you. Oh, this is it. You fail. You're a failure. If you read the Bible, all of them who serve the Lord, the people who Bible is mentioned, all of them And we can talk about this till tomorrow, all of them, in the eye of the people, they were failures. In the eyes of the people, they were failures. God says He chose those little bit of things to make it a shame, the bigger one. You remember, it's one verse in the Bible what it says, I don't remember what it is, but I think it was saying about Peter. And they said, they know they were with Jesus because they was an unlearning man, but they knew they was with Jesus because it was the one who is all-knowing and He teach them. The truth of the matter is, knowledge have nothing to do with the Jesus Christ, and that's the, I believe that's the beauty of the Lord. If you let Him, He will use Him and He will teach you. Like the Bible says, they will give you the right words what to say when it needs to be said. Don't let people fool you or you fail. When everything else fails, is still hope in Jesus. See, people, they get discouraged because they compare themselves with somebody. Oh, I'm not like this. Oh, I'm not like that. Oh, I have no chance. Oh, look at him. Hey, think about Jesus. Hey, everything what happened to me, what could happen to me, is to be a failure in the eyes of the people. But in one day, I go to heaven. And one day, because I'm the son of the Holy God, because my English is exalted. On the Calvary, His atonement on the Calvary, His blood was running for me and cleansed me because of Him. Now I am saved and I go to heaven. What could happen to me? The worst things? Well, people make fun of me. He said He made fun of him. What are you going to do to you? He said, if He make fun of me, if He kill me, what do you think He's going to do to you? Read your history book on Christianity. All the brothers, all the 12 disciples, only except one, die of natural death. You know who was that one? Who says, John? You're right. But you know what he did before? He was boiled in oil. Think about this. If they do to him, to the Lord of glory, if they kill him, what is he going to do to you? Well, Lord, brother Kid, I don't want to be killed. No, so do I. But think about all those Christians. Right now, they kill in Africa and everywhere. Think about that. And they gladly do it. You know, think about the old time, when the Roman times and all those. Hey, did you realize, did you admit that Caesar is your king and boss? And no. Did you renounce Jesus Christ to be your king? No. Well, then you have to die. Well, I have to die though. It's a wonderful story. When they said, I think it's when the Pavel was killed. I think the Roman officer who wasn't there, the Paul was given the chance. I read somewhere, I don't remember where, but he gave it the chance to renounce Christ. And he didn't renounce it, of course. And the officer, he said, he got saved right there, and he said, I want to have the same death what he had. And I want for the Christ, what he believed, I want to die for him because I see his loyalty. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that somebody is he can choose, he only choose between death and life. And he had choose death with the Christ or life with the renouncing Christ. Hey, keep up the good work. Keep up the good work. Everything fails, don't worry, it's still hope in Jesus. And the last one here, never doubt, in time of tribulation and sorrow, what you have promised the Lord in blessing time. You know, the Christians go, life Christians go up, you have a valley. Nobody knows my sorrow. Nobody knows what I go through. Well, yeah, Jesus knows. God knows. Don't doubt that. Don't doubt, hey, Lord, I promised to serve you. I promised to do this and this. And now it's a different time. See, Bible says he don't like the people who wave. God loves people who stand fast. God loves people who stays by the stuff, like I said. God didn't like wavy people. Like Bible said, there was some from us, but it wasn't of us, because if it was from us, of us, were staying with us. But it was wavering. There are some people, some Christians, called Christians, like this. And some of them, hopefully they are all of them saved, but some of them they are not saved. And they go from one extreme to others. And some Christians, they are saved and doing the same. And they promise the Lord something, and when it comes into a tough time, Lord, do you remember? I cannot honor that. Lord, I gotta be a missionary. Lord, I gotta serve you. Lord, I gotta do this and this because you bless me, because the time I have with you, the fellowship is sweet and is wonderful. But Lord, now this time, when it's this things coming to myself, Lord, please understand that I cannot go on with the promise what I give it to you. It's like same like I said to my marriage, honey, I love you 30 years ago, but now, you know, it's tough time. I'm sorry. I mean, you can't do that. You can't do that. Never doubt in the time of tribulation, sorry, what you have promised the Lord and bless in a blessed time. Never. Never. So how can I make a difference? How can I make a difference for Christ in my life and my surrounding? First, live for Christ. Try the best of your ability. I'm not talking about work salvation here. Hey, listen. I'm not talking about work salvation here. I'm talking about live for Christ in such a way to bring honor and glory to God. Then secondly, we said, try to tell others. Try to tell others. Tell others. Tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ, what He did to you. So when they see how you live, you tell them, they're going to want to have what you have. And third of all, we said, get involved in the ministry. Everything, everything. What is ministry? Get involved. If it's the floor cleaning, if it's the set up the chairs, if it's the do the tea in the kitchen, if it's go on the missions, if do the help with the mission money, go on the men's retreat, get involved in the ministry. May God addiction, may God, not addiction, your addiction to be glory to the Lord. I have another picture for that. When it says the house of Stephana addicted themselves to the ministry. Make your addiction godly addiction. Good addiction. No bad addiction. And fourthly, we said here, keep up the good work. Keep up the good work. Hey, today you want to do more than yesterday. 10 years from I get saved, I want to do more than 10 years when I get saved. And I plan 20 years to do more for the Lord when I will be there. So, keep up, keep up. And certainly not go back. Or quit. Certainly. Keep up the good work. Matthew 8:37. We go here. I said I quit, but now I quit. You know, preachers quit many times. I'm one of them. Because it's so much to preach in so little time. 8:37. No, 37. It's not Matthew. Matthew 8. Maybe 9:37. Hold on. Yeah. Yeah, here it is. You see? That is good too. One little bit in. Well, make a difference, huh? One number. Matthew 9, 37. But we read 36. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion of them. Jesus Christ. Because they fainted. And they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the labors are few. Is a lot to do for the Lord. Is a lot to accomplish for the Lord in this life and in this work. But the truth of the matter is, there are few labors. Few people who get involved. Few people who want to make a difference. Few people, Christian people, who want to do something for the work of God. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest. You see, the harvest is not yours. The harvest the work in remaining is not mine. The work here, believe it or not, is not yours. They said, pray therefore the Lord of harvest, his work, that he will send for labors in his harvest. And his harvest. You pray, Lord, what you want me to do? Because I do want to make a difference. I do want to do something for the glory of God here in Edinburgh. Help me, Lord. Help me. But there will be no harvest if there will be no workers. God can send the workers from heaven. God can send angels to work his harvest. But he said no. Pray therefore to God send for among you labors. So I can be involved in the ministry. So I can make a difference here. So I can go for the Lord to do something to make a difference in Romania and Sibiu. Why? Because it's his labor. Because it's his job, it's his people. Hey, did you realize that God loves so much the souls that he gave whatever he had the best? Everything what he had the best, the Lord give it for you and for me. Why not consider the Lord? I want to make a difference. I do want to make a difference. How? Lord, I don't know. Help me. I'm willing. I'm willing to do, but help me, Lord. I can't. I can point what I do. Bible says when you get saved, you get a gift. Maybe just you need to discover that. Talk to your pastor. Pastor, what do you think I'm good at? What do you think? What does need to be done? What can I do for the glory of God here? And the pastor will help you, or willing to help you. Pray for the Lord of harvest. Lord, I want to work a new harvest. What can I do, Pastor?
I think he was preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ as he went to the cross for us. He's on trial at Caiaphas' house and